Get you caught up in your book in case you need some fill-in blanks. Go back to Roman numeral 1, victory in a real faith, that one was. Victory in a real faith. And then A was, it was a faith that revealed God's love. A faith that revealed God's love. Then B, it was a faith that removed fear. Then it was Roman numeral 2, victory in a loving family.
Family, yeah.
Anybody got that? Mm-hmm. Then A, wives encourage their husbands.
Right.
B, husbands honor their wives.
Mm-hmm.
Then C, parents provide guidance.
Got it.
And by God's grace, we'll get through that today.
Amen.
All right. So victory over culture. We define culture as this: the beliefs, social practices, and characteristics of a racial, religious, or social group. That's what they believe or how they behave or what they do. Looking from the jumping verse in 1 Timothy, we looked at that in 2 Timothy. Timothy was a young man who was raised in a wicked culture, much like today. Amen. You know, anybody trying to raise children now, Bev, you're up against a culture that's just anti-Christ. I mean, we know it. Victoria is faced with the same thing, sis. You know, Ronquita, you know how it is. Amen. The children are just bombarded now with so much that they were not bombarded with us years ago. And Timothy had to go through that as well. How did he make it? He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Amen. That stood for God and raised him in the right way. And what a blessing it is to have godly people rearing us. Amen. So his mother and his grandmother made the difference. And so Paul got this young man, trained him and put him in charge of the church. And that same culture is still there, trying to get into the church. And Timothy's job now was to continue to contend for the faith. We talked about some ways he was able to get the victory over that. Roman number one was the victory in a real faith. He himself had to be saved. By the way, you cannot beat this culture if you're not saved.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen.
That's right.
You'll get sucked right into it. And his faith was revealed. It revealed God's love. And it also removed his fear, because now, because of Christ being in him, the power of God, he was able to go above the culture and above what he feared. Then victory in a loving family. Timothy could not have been what he needed to be if he didn't have someone to raise him. By the way, it doesn't just happen.
That's right.
People don't just get spiritual.
Right.
That's a process. That's time. Somebody's got to invest in them. By the way, any baby left to themselves, you put that baby in a jungle all by that baby's self, what is that baby going to learn? Just stuff in the jungle. They might learn how to crawl, climb a tree from a bear or something like that. But the baby is not going to learn anything. Will the baby learn how to talk? No. You can't learn to talk unless you hear somebody talk. You got to hear somebody to know what to say. So the child may not even know they can talk. Amen. Will they know how to change themselves? No. Will they know how to feed themselves? To a degree. I mean, they'll go get something, amen. Would it be healthy? Probably not. It might be dangerous. So what has to happen? A parent has to be put in place to feed them, to change them, to encourage them, to help them talk, to help them to walk, to help them to do all those things, amen. And so it is with a Christian. Victory in a loving family is going to be necessary to get us to where we need to be. And then we saw wives encourage their husbands. And we saw some things there in 1 Peter 3:6. Look at that here real quick, because that was the one that came before that.
Mm-hmm.
1 and 6. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Verse 6, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, was Abraham a perfect man? There's no perfect man. Was Sarah a perfect woman? No.
No.
But we had a perfect God.
Yes,
we amen. Did. And her job was to submit, and that's what she did. So now we're on B. Husbands honor their wives. Husbands honor their wives. We stopped with that. And we talked about how God places a much higher requirement on husbands as the leaders of the home.
Mm-hmm.
The husband is supposed to love.
Yep.
And that's a tall order. As Christ loved the church, and he died for the church. It says this, let me read this. Husbands need to provide dependability as well. And it says, when you elevate dependability, you eliminate doubt. What doubts might a woman have when it comes to her husband? It says, when you, husband needs to provide dependability, so someone she can depend on. It says, when you elevate dependability, when the husband elevates his dependability towards his wife, it eliminates her doubts. What doubts might she have? Unfaithfulness, amen. If I'm dependable and being faithful, that's going to eliminate the doubt of me being unfaithful, amen. Mm-hmm. What else? Being a good provider. So if I am dependable as a provider, she's not going to have need for want. She's not going to say, well, we've got to scrimp here and save here, because he is dependable as a provider. What else? What other doubt might she have? Yes, Beth? Trustworthiness. She trusts me. I've lifted up my degree of dependability and trustworthiness. So now she trusts me. By the way, should all wives trust their husbands? Yes.
Oh, yes, Pastor.
To the nth degree, she should trust him. She should believe him over everybody else. Even though the evidence may not look good, she should still believe him. Why? He should have that sort of dependability and trustworthiness and faithfulness that she believes him over everybody else.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
What else might a woman tend to doubt? Anybody? Y'all can help me out here. I got a couple. I put down safety.
Yep.
Am I safe with him? Is he going to protect me? I put down faithful as well. Am I faithful? I put this one out. Money. Do I have enough money to do what I need to do? Standards. Is he going to help me enforce godly standards in the home? Or am I going to have to do it all myself? So those are some things that you look at when husbands provide the dependability. It eliminates her doubts. Mm-hmm. And by the way, men should show their wives that they are committed to them by honoring them. And it'll help her with her doubts and her fears.
Yep.
And by the way, I put this down as well. When it says, show her that you are committed to loving and honoring her. Ladies, how can men show you that they are loving you and committed to you? What can a man do to show you that he's committed and loving? Yes? Do things for her.
Share, share the burden without having, without being asked. I'm not saying burden, but the tasks and the things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it just kind of is done. It's not talked about or requested. It's just there. It's done.
Now, when you say do things after they ask you or do things before asking? Amen. So do things. Amen. Now that is one thing, because it says here, show her that you are committed to loving and honoring her.
Mm-hmm.
And you will help her triumph over doubt and fear. So, ladies, what can we do to show we're committed to loving and honoring you besides doing things? What else can a husband do to show the wife that, hey, look, I'm committed to loving and honoring you? What can a husband do? Be dependable, amen. I've got a list of things here, but I want to see what y'all say, amen. What can we do?
Tell her that you love her.
Tell her that you love her, amen. Not, you know, and by the way, ladies like to see it demonstrated, but also told as well.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Lily, and then we'll get you, sis.
Besides always being thankful for loving her, just be submissive.
Now we're talking about what the husband can do for the wife.
Oh, for the husband.
Right.
It depends if sometimes the man and the husband can really show that. Sometimes they kind of like hold. They don't really, I guess, just being a man like that and woman is kind of like, we're sensitive. So think that we don't get, you know, attention from them. We get more like, you know, it's different, depends on how it is. If the man not more loving or more kind of, that would be easy, but sometimes it don't work that way. So it makes, you know, I don't know.
You need some understanding?
Yeah, understanding.
Some understanding, amen. Lottie? Emotional support.
That is good.
Let's park on that for a minute. How can a husband provide emotional support? Because by and large, most men are not very emotional. They are, but they don't show it. So how can a man supply emotional support? Yes, ma'am.
To be a good listener.
Be a good listener. Okay, that's one of the things I put down. Listen, so best to read my notes. Amen. What else? Because, by the way, is that a very key ingredient to the ladies' makeup, to have emotional support? Why do most ladies have girlfriends for emotional support? Why? Because most don't get it from the husband, so they've got to go somewhere else to get the emotional support from, because now this girlfriend understands me because she, being a lady, understands the need for emotional support, whereas the husband all the time does not understand emotional support. And the wife is tired of beating her head against the wall, and so she goes and to, you know, have emotional support someplace else. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
Be kind and non-judgmental.
Kind and non-judgmental to help with emotional support. Amen.
Good.
And that's a good one as well, because men are by nature fix-it people. And so we will judge it up and size it up and say, this is your problem. Here, take it. Anybody ever saw that that YouTube video, what is it, honey? It's not the nail. What is it? What was it called? It's not about the nail. Did you see that? I'll probably show that during marriage month. It's not about the nail. This lady's got a nail stuck in her head. And you remember that car we showed that in the couples class? She's got this nail stuck in her head, and she's coming to her husband. You know, I want to talk to you about it. And I got this headache. And he said, well, you got this nail in your head. She says, not about the nail. You know, so he goes on, you know, putting my sweaters on, and my sweaters keep getting snagged. He said, well, if you just take that nail out your head. And she's like, well, it's not about the nail. And they're going on and on and on. See, that's your problem. You're always judging me. You know, she's got this nail in her head the whole time. And so they go to give a kiss at the end, and couldn't get a kiss because of the nail. I said, ow. He said, she said, don't you even think about it. And just dealing with the communication problem that's there. For him, he's like, look, you got this nail in your head. If you just take that nail out, you'd be all right. And she's like, it's not about this nail. I want you to just listen to me. So I'll probably show that during marriage month. Actually, it's a hilarious, about 2 minute DVD, or a little, whatever you call it. Amen. But it's interesting. But it intensifies the emotional support. It's necessary. Because all he can see is, you got a nail. There's a problem. Let me fix it. Take that nail out your head. You'll be all right. And she's thinking, it's not about the nail. It's about you listening to me. And I've got problems, and I got issues, and I got this, and I got this. And it's all about the nail, but she don't want help with the nail. She just wants somebody to listen to her. And only thing he can see is, she got that nail in your head. And sometimes when a husband tries to go and give emotional support, that's what it's like. She's got the nail in her head, and he's like, just take the nail out and you'd be all right. And she's like, it's not about the nail. So what else can a husband do to help provide emotional support? Besides, it's not about the nail. Yeah, Katie. Find things that she likes to do and then do them with her. And that's a big one. Now, how about if she likes shopping? How many men like to shop? I don't like to shop. And my boys got it honest from me. They go, can we? I used to go to the store with my mom, and I would say, Mom, I'm going to sit right here if you don't mind. And then when you get done, you can come back and pick me up. And my mom would start at the first store and go down all those stores. Then she'd come back to the first store and buy what it was she was going to buy at the first store, and I'm sitting there waiting for her. That's 3 hours later, amen. It felt like 3 hours. And so finding things that she likes to do and then doing them with her. That's not always going to be an easy task. But guess what? That's part of love. What does it say? Husband only have one command. Husband's what? Love your wives. Is that a part of loving my wife? It is. It is. Is that a tall order? Yes. Will that help with emotional support? Yes. Will that help with the nail? Yes, it will. It will. So emotional support. What are some other things that a husband can do to show that he is committed to loving and honoring her? Emotional support is a big one. What are some others? We got the emotional support. We've got understanding, saying I love you, doing things, being non-judgmental, being kind. What are some other things?
Being a good provider.
Good provider. Amen. Beth? Belittle the comments.
What I say.
Amen. So make light or belittle her conversation. Amen. By the way, do the ladies have a real big struggle every month at a certain time emotionally where the emotions kind of go like this? Yeah, that's a real thing. It's a real thing. And the man has to be respectful of that time of the month that's going to come, knowing it's going to come. I mean, I used to get on that calendar and I used to plot that thing down, and my wife would start getting a little edgy a little bit. I'd be like, hey, honey, I think it's that time. It's okay. I love you. And I just reminding her that, you know, hey, you know, the emotions are unstable right now because of this. And so let's not get alarmed about this. But, you know, this time is here. And being aware of that from a male perspective will aid you immensely when you're aware of that. Amen. And that'll help you out. Amen. Because I know I see my mom when I was a kid. She'd fly off the handle certain times. I'd be like, whoa, away from you. Run into the room or go somewhere. I'm running away. I didn't know what was going on. I just thought, man, she's going to bite somebody's head off. And I'm not going to be around unless she can bite mine off. Amen. But being aware of that time, so that is there. I've got these things here. The man can do this. They can listen to her without judging her. And they can learn from her. By the way, can we learn from ladies? Yes, we can. There's a lot to learn. I learn a lot from my wife on how to deal with young people. I'm not a young people mentality person. I'm a junior high teen person mentality. I'm not a little kid. So I can learn a lot from her way of thinking on how to deal with young people, because that's not me. I have a hard time dealing with stubborn people because I'm not stubborn. I'm very easygoing. I can pretty much just give in to anything. And she helps me out with that. She knows how to. She had 7 brothers. No, how many brothers you had? 9. 9 brothers. So she had a lot of practice in dealing with hard-headed people, amen, and stubborn people and rebellious people. And so I can learn a lot from her. So we can learn from ladies, and that's going to lift us up in the ability of knowing, hey, I'm committed to honoring you and learning you. So listening, learning, loving is another one in action. Leading is another one. And by the way, ladies, sometimes don't you just want your husband to take the lead and you don't want to have to make all the decisions? My wife loves it when I come home and say, I want to eat this, this, and this, and this, and this. She says, oh, it makes my job so much easier. I don't have to go, what is he going to like? What does he want to eat? When it comes to food, I'm easy going again. As long as I got some meat on the table, I'm good to go. Amen. Doesn't have to have a whole lot. And for Joshua, as long as he doesn't have a green smoothie and vegetables, he's good to go as well. Amen. Anything sweet, I'm good. And so that helps, leading, and then allowing her to lean on him for his strength and his courage. And ladies will like that. You know, let me lean on you. I don't want to have to be strong all the time. Amen. And for single moms, I know it's a little bit tougher. Amen. Because you got to be mom and dad. Amen. You got nobody to lean on. And so that begins to add in another dimension. But to listen, to learn, to love, to lead, to lean. And then, Bev, I put down Lend a helping hand. Just chip in. I've got my boys now, they're older. They can help wash dishes. And so we get done eating. You know, they kind of look around like, who's going to wash the dishes? And we look back at them and like, you know who's going to wash the dishes? You are. Sometimes mom will grace them and say, okay, I'm going to wash the dishes. And they're like, yes, we don't have to wash dishes. Amen. Them know that, hey, look, we're going to lend a hand. We're going to help. We're going to take out the garbage. We're going to pick up after ourselves. We're going to do these things. By the way, the wife should not have to pick up after her whole house and herself. Can I get an amen? She should get some help from everybody else. Did everybody else help mess it up? Yes. Yes. I tell my children all the time, I said, look, you don't have any maids around here. There are no Dawson maids here. If you put it down, clean it up. If you messed it up, clean it up. And then there comes those occasions when they say, well, I didn't mess this up. Well, you messed it up last time, so clean it up this time. Amen. And so there's some lending in. So the husband can do these things. All this under husbands honoring their wives, because we want to make sure that the wife knows that we're dependable. It brings her doubt level down. She knows that we're committed to loving her and honoring her. And that will help her to triumph in the role that God has called her to, because God has called her to be submissive. And so now if she's going to be submissive, the husband's got to do his job to make her submissiveness a little easier. None worse than submitting to a rascal or submitting to a tyrant. None worse than that, you know. But if you're submitting to someone that's loving you and honoring you and respecting you and providing for you and caring for you and doing for you and helping you, I mean, that's a joy to submit to somebody like that. Tasha said, where can I find somebody like that? Amen. Sign me up. Amen. And by the way, how does the husband get to be that way? Both of you are right. How you were raised, the dad in the home. Shane is in the process now of being getting ready to get put out the home to get him a wife. And what is in him now, the lady is going to get. Shane, are you ready for this? He said, no, stay at home a little bit longer. Amen. It's in the home. The home is the training ground for the husband. The home is a training ground for the wife. If you want a submissive wife, it's got to start in the home. She can't be a rebel to mom and dad and expect to go out and be submissive to her husband. It doesn't work that way. If she's a rebel to mom and dad, what is she going to be to her husband? A rebel. Now, if she's submissive to mom and dad, what is she going to be? Submissive, 9 times out of 10. If the man is providing at home and he's respecting his mom, what is he going to do to his husband? Please, let's not go there. His wife. Hopefully he's going to be the same thing. So the training ground is at home, which brings us to our next section, because the husband is not just, he's not just going to bloop out and now he's Mr. Right. Oh, if that were true, if we could just have a child and boom, they turn 18, they're Mr. Right or they're Mrs. Right, and we can just marry Mrs. Right and we can marry Mr. Right. But that's not the case. If they're not raised in a godly home, guess what? It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Amen. So bringing us to our next section. And by the way, for the Christian home to be the oasis of hope that God designed for it to be in the midst of our culture, men must lead their homes as God plans and guides in the, you guessed it, Bible. I've got to follow God's leadership and God's example. The fathers and the husbands are responsible for providing the stable, safe home environment that stands against the tides of evil. Amen. So let's go to parents now, provide guidance. So we've got the wife. What is the wife doing here for our culture? She is encouraging her husband. What is the husband doing for his wife to help the culture? He's honoring his wife. By the way, the culture can do what it wants to do. If a wife is encouraging her husband, he can stand against anything if he knows his wife's got his back. The whole world can be against him. As long as he can come home and he's the king of the castle and his wife is backing him and supporting him, that's all he needs. That's all he needs. Why? That's the one that I married. That's the one I love. Same thing with the wife. The wife, if the husband honors the wife, the whole world can be against her. But as long as that husband lifts her up and encourages her, that's all she needs. That's all she needs. The whole world can just be against her. But if I can come home and I'm the queen of this castle, that's all I need. All right. Parents provide guidance for the children. Let's go over to Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Many of you know this verse already. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And Proverbs 22, 6. Let me get somebody to read that. Who's there? Can you read that for me? Proverbs 22, 6. Go ahead, Lilia. Amen. So train up a child the way that he should go or her, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. So in other words, putting the child in the way that God has already ordained and planned for him, and then letting God do his work. By the way, I've got to know the child in order to put the child in the way they need to go. And I've got to know my God as well. By the way, many parents these days are allowing TV to rear their children. Is there anything wrong with Barney rearing your child, or Sesame Street rearing your child, or Elmo rearing your child, or PBS rearing your child? Anything wrong with that? Amen, Serge? What's wrong with that? Humanistic philosophy. They don't stand for God. They have not a biblical worldview. They have a humanistic worldview. That being said, they're going to agree with same-sex marriages. PBS is going to agree with two dads in the home or two moms in the home. They're going to agree with homosexuality oftentimes. They're going to agree with lesbianism because they love each other. No, they lust each other. That's not Bible. They're going to agree with that. And so you got to be careful to have Barney and Elmo and Sesame Street and Big Bird and the rest of these. Do they have some good principles there? Yes, they've got some good educational principles there. Yes, they do. But you don't want them raising your child, because they're going to put some philosophies in your child that aren't Bible. Now, I'm not saying take your TV, take Elmo, Big Bird, just kick them out. I'm not saying that. There's some good learning things there. But you as a parent have to be discerning to know what is good and what is not, what is biblical and what is not, and being careful with what they watch. Again, PBS still means public broadcasting. So it is not going to be what you would call Christian. Okay. So when it comes to that, we've got to be careful with that. God wants us as parents to be the primary influence in our children's lives, not Big Bird, not Elmo. Amen. Not the Transformers and not any of these other things out there. So we have the responsibility to lead them and train them. That's what it says. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from that. So you and I have the responsibility to lead them and train them and to build their faith up so that they can follow who? Follow God. That's our goal. That's our goal. Now, by the way, again, when does this training start? In the cradle. From the cradle until they walk down the aisle, and then still after. By the way, I had a terrible headache the other day, and in my family, aneurysms run in my family. My uncle died of one. My dad had one. My cousin just died of one a couple weeks ago. And I had a terrible headache, and I didn't want to go to the doctor at all. So I just waited out. But I had never had a headache this bad. And so my wife, she was concerned. She called home, had everybody praying. And then my mom said, well, you know, you need to tell him to go to the emergency room. And my other sister, you know, you need to have him go to the emergency room, because you know aneurysms run in our family. It could be something up there. It's going to burst. And so I didn't want to go. I'm laying in the bed. I said, I just need some sleep, blah, blah, blah. And then my mom was on the phone with my wife. My wife put on speakerphone. And I could hear my mom saying, is Greg there? Is he there? And I could hear in the background trying to pretend like I was asleep. He said, yeah, he's here. And I said, Greg. Yes, Mom. You need to get up and go to that emergency room, boy. You know that runs in our family. You could be dead and blah, 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 blah. What do you think I did? I got up and I went to that emergency room. Now, why did I do that? Because my mother trained me up. And she said, look, when I say something, you better listen, boy. And I dare not. Now, she's in Atlanta. I'm in Tucson. I could say, I wish I would. Boy, next time I go home, I would not live. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't live. She probably would have called a plane to come back and got me in Tucson. I have that much reverence for my mom not to do that. And so although I didn't want to go to the emergency room, I went anyway, and they classified it as a migraine. I've never had a migraine, but if that is what it is, I don't want another one. Amen. And my wife was relieved now that it wasn't an aneurysm. My mom was relieved. My sisters were relieved. And so I was relieved that they was relieved. Amen. And so why did I say that? It's in training. We've got to train our children. I'm 53 years old. And guess what I still did when my mom said go to the emergency room? Went to the emergency room. It matters not how old I get. She is still my mother. Matters not how old your children get. You are still their parent. And you still should be able to tell them something when they're 53 years old. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's all in training them now. If you don't train them now to listen to your voice, what makes you think they're going to listen to your voice later on?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Amen. I'm just saying. I got up out of that bed, amen, with the fear of mom. So many Christian homes today have little guidance. That the mind of Christ is not even known hardly to the children. Why is there so little guidance nowadays in Christian homes? Why is there so little guidance in Christian homes? You hear the crickets. Search. Exactly. There's little guidance because somebody didn't give it to us. If somebody didn't give it to us, we can't give to somebody what was given to us. There was no way that I could raise my children with the word of God because I didn't get it. Now, granted, I got Bible stories read to me almost every night. But guess what? A Bible story is not going to help me live for God. Yeah, I heard what Goliath did to David and what David did to Goliath. I heard what Noah did and what all these guys. And I heard about what Jesus did over here. But that's not going to help me when I need a real living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. And then I've got to have some application, number two. How does that apply? And so many Christian homes are suffering because they weren't taught themselves. And so consequently, they can't teach it to somebody else. And that's tragic. And so the children are at a loss here. Timothy was not in that predicament. He had a real relationship with a real God because his grandmother and his mother both had that relationship. And they taught and they trained him into the ways of God. By the way, it says here there needs to be a difference between our homes and the homes of the world. How many would agree with that? Amen. There should be a difference. Should the same things that go on in an unbeliever's house go on in my house?
No.
Now, there are going to be some similar things that may go on as far as learning and training and things of that nature. But when it comes to biblical things and ungodly things and evil things, those things shouldn't happen in my home the way they happen in others' homes. By the way, we must have rules, standards, and actually enforce them. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
It's one thing to have rules and standards, another thing to enforce them. Is it mean to say no?
No, it isn't.
Does God say no?
Yes, he does.
Then why do we find it so hard to say no to our children? Why is it so hard? You know, little Johnny or little Sally, mommy, can I have such and such? And we know it's going to rot their teeth out. Mommy, can I go with so and so? And we know they're the devilish. Mommy, can I watch this program? And we know it's got obscene things on it. Oh, mommy, can I hang out with so-and-so? And we know they're wicked as the devil. And it breaks our heart to say no. Why does it break our heart to say no? You want to see them happy. You want to see them smile. We want to please our children. We want what's best for them. But is no what's best for them sometimes? We've got to step up to the plate and understand that God, when he says no, he's doing it because he loves us, not because he hates us. Go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, because we look at no in our society. Now, why do we look at no as a bad thing in our society? Why do we look at no? Serge? Huh? We want our way. And also, hasn't society told us that if you say no, you're going to warp your children? If you deny them, you're going to warp their sense of personality. You're going to warp their creativity. They're not going to excel. Well, you know, come over to Exodus chapter number 20 and verse number 3, God giving you 10 commandments. What is the first thing he says? Thou shalt have what? No other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee. Is that no? That's no. He says, verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. Is that no? That's no. A positive. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. That's not a no. That's actually a yes. Remember. come down to verse number 12. That's a yes. Honor thy father and thy mother. But before that, it was thou shalt have no. Thou shalt not. Verse 7, thou shalt not. Then he says, remember the Sabbath day. Then 12, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That's a no. 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a no. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. That's a no. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying. That's a no. 17, thou shalt not covet. That's a no. So I think God agrees with no. Does God want what's best for us? Yes. Do we want what's best for our children? Yes. So we cannot get so heartbroken when we say no, knowing it's for their best interest. Will they get puppy eyes? Droopy lip? You don't love me. You don't care about me. By the way, it's encouraging to tell them that you're saying no because you do love them. Because you do care about them. Because you want what's best for them. And it's okay to let them know that you may not understand this right now, but you will later. Many of the things that my parents would not let me do as a child, I didn't understand. But now as I'm older and I look back on some of the things that they would not let me do, I wouldn't let my kids do it either. And my parents weren't saved. And they wouldn't let me go with some shady characters that I thought were okay. Wasn't until after the fact I found out that these characters were not only shady, but were doing shady things that my parents knew about, but they had enough sense not to tell me what they were doing. Because I would look at them differently, and they were my relatives. So they purposely did not tell me what they were doing, but they also on purpose did not let me go with them. Later on, I found out what they were doing, and I thought, ooh, if I'd have went over there, I would have been involved in this. And I would have been exposed to some things that I didn't need to see or hear from my cousins. And 9 times out of 10, when your cousins do certain things, you tend to dismiss it or overlook it and say it must be okay if they're doing it because they're my cousins. And my parents let me go over here. So why would my parents let me go over here if this wasn't okay? See how children start reasoning things? If my parents let me do this, it must be okay. And so we've got to be careful with saying no because it is something that God does tell us over and over again. Since we're here in Exodus, notice verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that is a promise that God gives us that we need to honor him. And by the way, when Moses is getting these commandments, is Moses an adult? Yes.
Yes, he is.
So is Moses supposed to be teaching himself this? Teaching himself and who else? The entire nation of Israel of adults. That you have to teach your child to honor you. You say, well, that just seems so self-righteous. I'm going to teach my children to honor me? Yes. It's biblical. I'm going to teach my children to obey me? Yes. It's biblical. You say, well, won't I feel like I'm some kind of high hog? No, you're a parent. And your child should honor you. And they should obey you. Even if they're in Atlanta and you're in Tucson, they say, go to the emergency room. Guess what you're going to do? Go to the emergency room. You can be in China. You can be in Alaska. You can be in Timbuktu. And if the parent says do it, guess what you ought to do? You ought to do it. I remember one time when I was over in Belgium on a payphone, my mother said, I want you to pray tonight. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I ain't got time to pray. I'm too busy to pray. Boy, she let me have it. And she said, I am not getting off this phone until you promise me you're going to pray when you get off this phone, boy. And she stayed on that phone until I promised. I went home and prayed. I think I pray something like, Lord, don't let her call again. I think I pray something like that. Lord, don't let her call again. If she's going to talk to me like that, amen. But guess what? She knew I needed prayer. She knew I needed it. She knew it was good for me. And she knew how bad off I was drinking and things like that. So Exodus 20:12 is going to be our memory verse for next week. And then we're going to pick up with this next week, talking about the children. Then we'll go into Roman number 3. And that'll go right in hand with next week's lesson as well, because we'll be talking about the home next month. So Exodus 20 and verse number 12 is going to be our memory verse. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. By the way, it is okay for you to teach that to your children. By the way, you ought to teach that to your children. Along with children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because one of these days, you're going to ask your child to do something, and you're going to ask them to obey, and they're going to ask you why. You know what your only answer needs to be? Because I said so. They don't need an explanation. They don't need to know why. Now, if you want to give them a why, amen. But the only thing they need to know is, because I said so. And guess what? And God said so. He said, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. They don't need an explanation. You say, I think that's mean. That's Bible. Did God explain everything to Moses? No. Sometimes he just said, go do it. You'll understand later on. Amen. Y'all looking at me like, Pastor, this is 2017. The more reason why we need to do it. Amen. Because the times are evil. Amen. All right. Exodus 20:12. That's our verse. Amen. Let's meditate on that for next week. And we'll come back and finish out. Parents provide guidance for the children. Father, thank you once again for loving us, Lord. I pray that you would guide, direct, and lead in the morning hour. And God, help us as parents, Lord, to help our children in this society. Lord, it's a wicked society. It's a culture that's anti-God and without the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to raise up children that will not only be obedient, but they will be honoring to us. And then, Lord, they'll be great husbands and great wives in the future. Lord, this is a training ground for our children now, Lord, as they are being raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to raise them up in a way that would honor you and glorify thee. Thank you so much for loving us, Lord. Bless now the refreshments next door and the next hour. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.